Welcome back to All In with Jordan Apodaca, the show where we talk about giving your all, doing it all, and loving all. And in this episode, I'm going to actually explain what each of those three means. But those three little sentences really are what drive me as a human being. They're what drive this podcast. They're what drive my mission in life. Give your all, do it all, love all. And like I said, I'll come back and explain those more. But first, I just want to explain more broadly, why did I rename my podcast? Or more technically, why did I rename my podcasts? I had Theology in Progress and I had the Self-Development Podcast. And I have combined those two into All In with Jordan Apodaca is the name that I have for it. And I explained on the last episode with Pat Flynn, we were talking about generalism and skill stacking and niche stacking, about how when you combine your skills, you have a competitive and happiness advantage in life. So definitely listen to that. And I told you how that conversation really was kind of the tipping point for me, where I realized, okay, I need to go all in, no pun intended. I need to go all in and combine these two podcasts. And so that was an incredible motivation for me to make that leap. But just knowing that it's good and valuable to combine your interests, just knowing that it gives you a competitive and happiness advantage to try to combine the different things that you're doing in life and be good at a lot of different things, that doesn't tell you how to do it. And so this, I went on a little bit of a journey trying to figure out, okay, how exactly can I actually take all of these different interests that I have, all these passions that really feel core to who I am, and how can I turn those into one thing? And so I stumbled across a book by Evan Carmichael. It's called Your One Word. And so in this episode, I want to share with you exactly what I learned from this book, Your One Word, and specifically how I learned to take all the different passions and ideas that I had and kind of combine them into one project, one plan. But before I get to that, I want to talk about the idea of creation, the idea of making content of one sort or another. I really think that humanity are made to create. We are made to create. We are objects of creation first and foremost. Our parents made us, our society and history shapes us, and moment by moment, God holds us in being as well. And so we're very clearly created beings. And yet we're also creative beings. We are made to make. We are created to create. We make poems and power lines, sonnets and spreadsheets, paintings and podcasts, songs and socks. And so that's why I think that it's important to think through, okay, what is my message going to be? Because we're made to create. And so we're made to speak. We're made to use words to impact ourselves and other people. And so it's important to try to find some centeredness to your message. And I think that it's important to not try to wear different masks, be different people around different audiences. I think it's really important to fully be yourself, not hide from what you actually believe, depending on what audience you're in front of. That's something that was another reason why I wanted to combine what I was doing. I felt like there were things I was saying on the Self-Development Podcast that I wouldn't want my more Christian friends to be hearing. And vice versa, that I thought that if I mentioned too much stuff about God, that people would kind of be turned off and I'd lose people that wanted to listen. But I don't think that's there's wisdom, obviously. There are opportunities where you want to be strategic, but I don't want to live a divided life. I want to live a congruent life. This idea of congruency is really interesting. It's when you're communicating with all of you the same thing. When someone's incongruent, this is an easier way to understand the idea. Incongruency is when someone is nodding their head and saying no, or they're turning it side to side and saying yes. Or more realistically, it's when they say, oh yeah, I'd happy to help out, and yet their body language is saying the exact opposite. You can just tell, like, you don't actually mean it. You're not fully being real with me right now. And I think that, so that's kind of the two foundations, I guess. We want to speak. We want to create, we want to make stuff, because that's part of what it means to be human. And also, the reason why we want one word that can kind of pull this all together is because we want to be congruent, we want to be authentic, we want to be fully ourselves. And what's really neat is that due to the technology available today, we have so many opportunities to create, to make stuff. You can upload music straight to SoundCloud that you create on your iPhone. You can record a conversation and upload it using Anchor to just spread that out over all the podcast players. You can use Instagram for photography. You can write stuff and post it on social media and blogs. Like, it's so easy for people to be creative. And yet, there's also a problem. So here's a third reason why I find finding your one word to be so helpful, is that there's this problem. There are so many people filling the pipes, right? I know so many people who say things like, oh yeah, I'd love to start a podcast, but there are just already so many. That's honestly just not even true. There are way more people listening to podcasts than there are people recording. And there have been so many times I've went to search for a pretty specific idea for a podcast. Like, oh, I'd love it if there was a podcast that talks just about this one thing. And it wasn't there. And I've had that happen to me so many times. So there's so many opportunities still there. Or with YouTube. YouTube definitely is a lot more cluttered. And yet people still are able to be successful on it. People still are able to create stuff and get noticed. But I think that's part of the problem also. I don't think we have to get noticed to make creation worth it. If you're creating something only so other people can see it, you will never be genuinely fulfilled doing it. You need to find something that you enjoy so much that you'd enjoy doing it even if you failed at it. And that is such a hard thing for me to say and to truly believe, but I'm trying to get there, is that I am fine if this podcast totally fails. And notice how I kind of had that awkward pause in there, because I don't totally believe it yet. But with that said, it is normal to want the thing that you worked on to get noticed, to be seen. Not just so it can be seen, but so it can actually help someone, so it can make their day and their life potentially better. So your poem can lift someone up, or your spreadsheet can clarify information. And so my podcast is still really small, but I've already had a few people say that it's helped motivate them to make some changes in their lives, to get going. And at the end of the day, that's why I want people to have access to my work. And yet, it is a real problem that things are getting oversaturated. They're not quite there yet, in my opinion, but every day more and more and more podcasts and YouTube channels, etc., are being created, and it's harder and harder to get noticed. So this is why you need to find your one word. This is the third reason. So to clarify, the first reason you need to find your one word is because you are meant to create. The second reason is because when you're creating through your words and through things that you build and products and services and all of that, you want to be congruent. You want to be authentic. You want to find something that unites all of your passions so you can just speak honestly, speak the truth. And then third, you want to find your one word so you can get noticed, so you can cut through the noise. Because when you find your one word, I can guarantee there's only one of you that's going to be speaking that one word in your way. When you find your one word, it can be something that gives you a really unique flavor to what it is that you're doing. Plus, when life gets hard, or when your business gets hard, or when your passion, your podcast, whatever gets hard, and you have tough decisions to make, you need a sense of direction and motivation to pull you through. And so what is your one word? The theory is this. Every one of us has one word that explains and unites all of the things that we love. Every one of us has a single word that encapsulates our passions and purposes. And there is a big problem with mission statements. A lot of people try to use mission statements to do this type of thing. But mission statements have never motivated me, and they don't motivate very many people at all. They're too big and clunky, and they're often written to be precise instead of to be motivating. You want to find one word that has emotional juice in it, one that lights a fire and unites your passions. And then that will give you the key to unlock your creativity. And you might be skeptical. That's fine. But play along. You're listening already. So just play along and do the exercise in this podcast episode and see if it helps. Too many people, I think, try to decide philosophically that a piece of advice won't work for them. Just give it a try. It's way easier to try something like this than to speculate all day as to whether it will or will not work. So just give it a try. At the very least, this will be a good opportunity for you to become more self-aware. So for the rest of this episode, get yourself in a state of mind that finding your one word is exactly what you need to do in order to finally find clarity and purpose in your work and in your life. So how can you do that? Well, the book that Evan wrote, Your One Word, proposes a method that's actually pretty simple. So you have two options here. You can either do the homework as I'm speaking, or you can listen to it, get the broad overview, and then go and do the homework. And I have a link in my notes to a document that I made, which is you can print it out, and that would be one of the best ways for you to do this. I kind of make it as easy as possible for you to find your one word. I made a worksheet to go along with this. So go to the show notes right now if you want to do this right now as I'm talking, and print it out, and then come back. So first, what you want to do is make a list of all of your favorites. There are three steps. So the first one is to make a list of all your favorites. List your favorite movie, your favorite movies, your favorite songs, your favorite fiction books, your favorite nonfiction books, and so on. And try to write down at least three examples for each of them. So what are your top three favorite movies? What are your top three favorite songs? What are your top three favorite fiction books? And so on. And then ask yourself, what do my favorite movies all have in common? And then next to that, write down a few one-word descriptions that unite your favorite movies. And then go and do this again for your favorite books and your favorite songs, favorite fiction books, favorite nonfiction books, etc. So you're going to have a list of your favorites and then a list of one words next to all of them. You'll have a number of words written next to each of the categories. Now what you want to do is circle any of them that occurs several times. Second, so that's the first list. You've got a bunch of categories. You have favorites listed next to those categories. You have one word descriptions next to those, and you've circled some of them that have shown up multiple times. Second, make a list of all the personality traits of people that you like. Notice who you enjoy spending time with. And then make a list right next to it of people you don't like. Notice from these lists, or not the people that you don't like, but the characteristics that they have that you don't like. Notice from these lists any new words that jump out, and any words from the previous list that have shown up again. Circle, again, any of them that seem to be standing out to you. And then third, what you're wanting to do now is go back and look at those one-word descriptions that should be covering your pages by now. Look at all those one words and pick the top five that stand out to you. Top five. And then ask yourself, which of these words have always been true of me? Which will always be true of me? Because what we're trying to do is we want to find one word that describes you to the core, no matter what. Not who you wish that you were. This is a common problem in any type of self-awareness, personality assessment, whatever. People often try to think of who they wish that they were instead of who they actually are. And that's actually why listing character traits that you dislike, people that you've gotten into arguments all the time with, is really helpful, because those are often a lot more automatic. We answer those without thinking. We don't think through what type of person would I like to have disagreements with. We just kind of know quickly. And so that can be really helpful. You can even do that with the first list if you want. Try to think through, what movies did I hate having to watch? What songs drive me crazy? With those, I think it probably is better to focus on the positive, because there's a lot of reasons you might not like a song. It might just be bad, for example. But character traits are more helpful to focus on the negative just for a second. We still want to love these people, obviously, but it's really helpful to figure out what makes you tick by realizing who kind of rubs you the wrong way. And then, again, third, that last step is you want to ask, what has always been true of me? What describes me to the core? And one funny way to maybe think about it is, if you were born on a different planet, or if you were born to different parents, or you're born on the other side of the world, what would still be true of you? Which of these words would still be true of you no matter what? And then after that, you just need to make a decision. You can feel free to make it a tentative decision, a temporary decision. Feel free to pick 1 to 3 words and kind of carry them with you throughout the next few days. Kind of try them on, see if they feel right, see if they are helpful. And remember that while picking your word, you can be creative. And let me explain what I mean by kind of telling you my story now of how I used this process. Because it was really becoming creative that helped me to find my one word. And as you might be able to guess, my one word that I settled on is the word all. It describes everything that I stand for. But it was not the first word that came to mind. It actually took me quite a while. It wasn't on my original lists at all. So then how did I come to it? Well, I came to it by being creative, like I said. And I had to be creative because I needed to combine several other words into one. So, for example, if you're torn between hope and humor, you might pick the word laugh. The word laugh obviously relates to humor, but it also reminds me of the proverb, which says that Lady Wisdom laughs at the day to come. She doesn't worry about tomorrow because she has hope, so she's able to laugh. That's just one kind of silly example, but I think it shows that you can be creative. You can combine things that seem separate, like hope and humor, using the word laugh. And for me, I was stuck with all kinds of different words. The word fast quickly rose to the top of my list. This happened when I was writing down the qualities of people that I didn't like. I realized that one of the most annoying things about jobs I didn't like and people I didn't like was when they were just slow. And I don't mean mentally slow. I mean when they just don't talk quickly, when they take forever to get to the point, when they take up my time. That drives me crazy. I also noticed that when I thought of movies I enjoyed, they were all fast-paced. And they're usually shorter. My biggest complaint about movies is I don't know how anyone has the time to watch 2-hour movies and not feel antsy during it. Like, it's insane to me. The second set of words that were coming to mind were words like passion and ambition and fight. And one of the things that tipped me off to this was that every single one of the songs that I wrote down that I liked, really, I liked it because it was passion. It was passionate. It was full of energy. It made me want to fight. Like, it made me want to do something with my life. And then the word holistic showed up on my list at one point. And I didn't like the word. I'm not the biggest fan of that word on an emotional level. Like, it doesn't motivate me at all. But it showed up because I get very frustrated by people who are narrow-minded, who try to say we have to pick, for example, between being religious and being reasonable. Or people who say that, you know, if you want to be a Christian, then you have to give up things like drinking. And there's no biblical basis for that at all. There's no logical basis for that at all. And it just annoyed me. And that type of stuff really annoys me when people say that we have to pick and choose. And it was kind of at this point that I had a bit of an aha moment. Because I want to have it all. And then the word all kind of stood out to me. And I realized how often the word all has mattered to me in my life. So I've debated people to no end about the goodness of God, because there are some people, somehow they think this makes sense, to say that there is a God, and this God is love, but he doesn't love all people. And they might say, well, he does love all people, but he's not willing to actually seek what's good and best for every person, which is just a contradiction in terms, because love, by definition, is to seek the best for somebody. And so, yeah, there are theologies, namely Calvinism, which says God does not actually love all people. And that, I actually believed it at one point. I'm ashamed to say. But that was, and I'll probably get into that at some point in the future. But that's something I've debated to no end in my life. The word all has also been important in my life when it comes to just thinking about human rights issues. I'm definitely pro-life. I think that abortion is murder. I think that it's completely unjust to take the life of someone just because of their size or because of their positioning within a woman's womb. It doesn't make any sense to me to take their life for that reason. And yet at the same time, there are people who act like you have to kind of pick and choose between either being that or caring about the poor or about climate change, like all these different things. Like, there are these artificial divisions where it says you're either going to care about this thing or you're going to care about that thing. And then there's also people, again, the fundamentalists, who say God only loves people who do X, Y, and Z. They only read their Bible, and they only pray, and they go share the gospel. And I try to push them to see that God created the entire world, and he declared it all to be good. So I noticed that the word all definitely evoked a lot of strong emotion for me, which is what you want. It narrows things down and gives you a lot of focus. But then I had to get a little bit creative, because I still had the word fast. I still had the words passion and ambition. So I had to get creative to figure out how I can make all include those other ones. And so what I did was I sort of made 3 mini mission statements. I said earlier that mission statements don't help, but they're helpful when you kind of attach them to your one word. So mine, as I stated, are give your all, do it all, and love all. So give your all, that's where the word passion and the word fast come in. I rarely meet anyone who is living life with 100% of the God-given power and intensity that they could be. Yes, rest is important. But even among those who value rest, I hardly meet anyone who just goes all in, who gives their all when it comes to resting. We often waver back and forth and never dive in fully committed. And so that was something that I know. I'm not saying I do it perfectly, but I know that is something that matters to me about giving your all. And so that was my first of the three mini mission statements. Second is do it all. This is about resisting that narrow-minded thinking. It's about enjoying the entirety of life. And it's about having high standards for the entirety of your life. It's corny, but it's true. You will only be as strong as your weakest link. So you need to raise the standard for everything that you do. Stop being average and complacent in any area of your life. Strive to always be growing spiritually, physically, psychologically, financially, and professionally. Like, that's what that is about for me. And then, love all. At the end of the day, all your effort is about love. Loving God, loving humanity, loving even the animals and the planet that we were given. It is way too easy to be successful and unfulfilled. That's what Tony Robbins calls the ultimate failure. To be successful and unfulfilled is the ultimate failure. But why do people lack fulfillment? It's because of a lack of love. True joy is only found in giving it away. That's what Jesus said, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to love than to be loved. Gary Vee, who's an entrepreneur that I look up to, he said many times that he wants to be remembered for one thing. He gave more than he took. And regardless how people remember us, this is how we truly ought to live. For joy is found in the act of giving. So that's my life right there. Give your all, do it all, love all. And you can see how it was going through that process of finding the different words that kind of fit, that kind of described part of it, and then this word all really was helpful to kind of pull it all together. And so if you didn't do this already, right now, I'd encourage you to, as soon as this episode's over, go to the link in the show notes, download that worksheet, print it out, and get to work. Spend 20 to 40 minutes. It wouldn't take that long. Spend 20 minutes really thinking this through, and I think it will be very helpful to you. There's also a link in the show notes to the Amazon link for the book. And if you want the book, I think it would definitely be worth your time. It's especially worth your time if you're wanting to build a business out of this, if you're wanting to make money. If right now all you want is some type of creative direction and some mission and purpose for your life, consider getting it. Maybe check out like the free preview on Kindle or whatever. But I wouldn't say it's a need to read for everyone. It's a need to read for people building a business, and it's you should consider reading if you're wanting to build like a podcast or something. But anyway, that's it for today's episode. It's a little bit shorter than some of my other ones, but I hope that's helpful for you, and I hope that explains at the very least a little bit of what I am doing. If you think about it, give the show a review, please. I know that it sounds annoying. I know that I'm being just like every other annoying podcaster on the planet. But if you could leave a review, what that does is it's really hard to be discovered on podcasts. And so one of the few things that helps bump you up when people start searching for your category is having good reviews. So if you could leave me a review, that'd be awesome. And I'll talk to you next time. Peace.